outlaw abortion. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow keeping his promise. As some understand slowness, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth, and everything in it will be laid bare. Strong words this morning from 2 Peter. May the font of all of our blessings be in him. We come to magnify and to lift him up. So come. Come, font of blessings.
Just started flowering this morning.
Some new paint. But they don't
think and we got some new paint out of Narthex. Thanks to Meg DeRoy.
What do I know?
Carrie Grace. Anything else?
Only me.
Yeah.
What are all the marks in the parking lot?
All the marks?
Paint on the.
Oh, that's a secret.
Oh.
No, we can't tell everything that's going on.
That's because he doesn't know.
But when the church gets the bill, we'll let you know. good to see everyone here this morning.
Tim.
Yes.
What about May now?
May.
Birthdays?
Any May birthdays?
I say that because I have a birthday. May birthdays. And because I'm at the piano, I can decide what we're going to do, right? So let's sing happy birthday for May birthday.
Bob, I know you're not watching this, but happy birthday anyway. Bob, you can pass it on to Bob. Everybody who's got a good name is Bob.
I like that.
Looking at the bulletin here this morning, just want you to know that, you know, with May comes and kind of brings to the end of our time with the little kids, preschool, the elementary age students, and even confirmation comes to an end as well. But we do have on one Wednesday, on the 19th, will be another Wednesday night fellowship with excellent food. And I'm never going to tell my wife to make double dates again. And she's not here today, so I can say this. But I sure enjoyed them, and I told her, I said, where are they? You didn't bring any home. They're all gone.
They've been really good, too.
It was a good thing. So that's one thing, and I think there's planning on a Bible study starting on Wednesday nights here in a couple of weeks. I think Danny Struck will lead that here at the church. And more information about that as time comes on. Want to remind you that on Thursday from noon till 1, we do have a Bible study for anyone that would like to come on the book of Philippians. And we're going to go through that really slow. And so don't think it's going to be a fast one. I think we're just... What are we on, Marla? We're on probably verse 3 or 4 or something like that. So,
it's a good one to savor.
It's a good one to savor. We're chewing on it as well. So if you'd like to bring a sack lunch, get in on that. And pretty prompt, you know, we don't want to go past 1 o'clock. So if you want to be a part of that, you're sure welcome to do so. We had a good turnout of guys at the men's breakfast yesterday. And we got our eyes open to see who wasn't there to get you to come next month. You know, Chuck did not have to buy for everybody. You know, but you never know. You never know for next month who that might be. So it was good to see everybody there on Saturday morning. So the next one will be in June, the first Saturday in June. You see the prayer requests, there are a number of prayer requests that are in the bulletin here today. Just to let you know that Gay Man's funeral was last Tuesday, but Glad's out here, and there's a white carnation?
Rose.
A white rose out as you come in. That's just from the family. Saying thanks to Harbor Joy for all the times that we touched their mother. And so just make you aware of that. Congregational business meeting last week, you see the results that are in the bulletin here today. And we do want to thank Danny Struck for his years, 15 years. I mean, he was a treasurer for a while, and he was also the president for 5 years. So he deserves some time off. And the next council meeting, the council will elect a new president. We'll let you know who that is when that time comes. So we're just really, really grateful today. Any other announcements?
Yeah.
I hear something.
Right back here. I am in need of somebody to do Meals on Wheels for Thursday, all of May.
Thursday, Meals on Wheels.
You can even do one or two of the Thursdays, let me know. The people I had signed up have had to back out due to medical appointments.
Okay. You can help, that'd be great. Thursdays for one, though. Month of May. Let us have a word of prayer together, and I'll turn it back over to our praise team. Heavenly Father, we come to you today thankful for being able to see little goslings following their mom and dad today along Highway 71. Thankful to see how, Lord, you are showing the signs of spring all around us with the buds on the trees, with tulips and hyacinths. Irises are growing, but they're not flowering yet. And just to be able to see the number of people back here at Harbor of Joy is a true blessing as well. So Lord, come and do your work in our hearts, in our midst here today. We've come to just turn off everything that's going on in the world and to focus heavenward and to think about Jesus and what he has done for us and what he would like to do in our hearts and our lives today and every day. Be with those, Lord, that are on our prayer list, and you know who they are, you know all the things that are taking place, and there's probably some that aren't on here that could be. But Lord, you know all about the needs of people and the things that they're going through. And it doesn't have to be health issues. It can be a lot of other different kinds of things. May your presence be with them today in a very real way. And we're grateful that we are here to be able to worship Jesus and lift up his name on high. And thank you for all that you do for us and that you give us the hope and the peace that we need that this world does not understand. Jesus is truly the one whom everyone needs in his or her life today. We just ask these things today, Lord, and be with our praise team as they play the song Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
This is the new song for February. New song from May, called Jesus. Three elements to this, there's the verse, there's chorus, and there's a bridge. So, Jeff and I will take you through the first part. This is verse one, you can listen to it. So like, if you know it already, then join in. There is a truth older than the angels. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. Okay, that is the one of the verses. Then the chorus part, Jeff, where we got who walks on the waters. Chorus part goes like this. Who walks on the waters? Who speaks to the sea? Goes over on Jeff, Messiah, my Savior, there is power in your name. If you find that spot, that is the bridge.
Messiah, my Savior,
Jesus.
think you should get Jesus. Today is the 2nd of May, Communion Sunday, the first Sunday of the month we have communion. And as we have a brief order for confession and forgiveness, this is really kind of where the rubber meets the road. Something that God invites both you and I to do in a very sincere way, enjoying close to Him this morning. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are opened and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of my heart by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that I may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
If I say I have no sin, I deceive myself, and the truth is not in me. But if I confess my sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. When it takes some time of silence, it's for us to be able to let the Holy Spirit examine our hearts and to bring to our minds anything that we need to confess today or things that we just have forgotten to thank the Lord for. And of course, we don't have enough time to really do this in the appropriate way, but we're going to take some time here this morning. Let's do that right now. Lord, our list is long. We have been angry. We have probably not carried through in some things that we said we were going to do. We've been lackadaisical and spending time in your word, in prayer. We jump to conclusions, and sometimes when we jump to conclusions, they're wrong ones. Lord, we are a sinful people. Even when we come to church, we know that when we leave and go out the doors, that by the time we get to the car or by the time we get home, we need to come back to this place right here and confess our sin. So Lord, hear our prayers this morning, our confession. May there be things that you recall to our minds even later this morning or this afternoon or today, that we just take the time and say, Lord, I admit I forgot to confess this to you today. So Lord, we're here not to play church. We're here because you have laid it upon our hearts today to come, to be in your presence. Maybe you would feel some conviction. Maybe even be surprised by the things that the Holy Spirit has brought to our minds this morning that we need to confess to you. So Lord, hear our prayer, and we just say, most merciful God, I confess that I am in bondage to sin and cannot free myself. I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what I have done, by what I have not done. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved my neighbors as myself. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Forgive me, renew me, and lead me, so that I may walk in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us and given me your Son, who has laid down his life for us and for me, so I may have forgiveness for my sins, that all of us here may receive your forgiveness of our sins together. We praise your name, and I praise your name this morning too, Lord. Amen. So you notice he's got a nice hand leg. And thanks, Mile and Space. Welcome back, CJ, with us. We invite you to stand as we read the text. Here today comes from the Gospel of John. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I read in Jesus' name. Jesus says here, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." Just to let you know, we're not going to get into pruning today. That's another message for another time. "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Key verse, verse 5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word that we can never learn everything through our whole lifetime. There's always something new that jumps out and is drawn to our attention through your word. May today be one of those days too, where something new is revealed to us by your Holy Spirit from these words that Jesus spoke almost 2,000 years ago, but are still very pertinent for us today. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This is the last time that Jesus brings out the "I am" throughout his gospel. How many times does Jesus say "I am"? Well, you count them, I'll tell you. Refresh your mind. He said, "I am the bread. I am the light. I am the door or the gate. I am the shepherd." What kind of a shepherd? Hey, you listened last week. The good shepherd. "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the vine. You are the branches." How many are those? There's only seven. There's only seven. This is the last one that Jesus makes a claim who he is. "I am." So Jesus here is very divine. Get that? Divine. He's the vine. Divine. I don't know if you tell you're not awake here. He is the vine. And we are the branches. If we remain in him, we will bear much fruit. Because apart from Jesus, you and I can do nothing. Pretty amazing, isn't it? How many times do we think we can do something? Because we like doing things. But here Jesus very pointedly says, we're just branches. And we can do nothing. But we need to be connected to the vine. That is something we need to know, that we're connected to the vine. That vine is who? It's Jesus. Yeah. The significance of the vine is this. I'm not sure if you're aware of it because I wasn't aware of it. So if I'm not aware of it, you're probably not aware of it. But in the Old Testament, you know, God brings out the Word of God where it says that His people, the Israelites, are His vine. And it is a word picture of Israel that's given to us in Psalm chapter 80, verse 8, where it is God who says, I'm the one who took you out of Egypt. You are my vine, and I planted you in a place that you are to go and to be a people that are like none other. And you are to go out and multiply, and you are to be people that will bear good fruit. It says that in the Old Testament. We also find that this vine is to produce fruit. And the fruit that you have on a vine, a vineyard, at this time is a very common occupation. You would see vineyards over Israel. They're still there today, some of them. And what do these grapevines produce? Grapes. When you go out and take care of the vineyard, you are looking for the harvest where there's going to be grapes. And you'll be going out there and you'll be looking through the rows and you want good clusters of grapes. But even though you see good clusters of grapes, it doesn't mean that they're going to be sweet. Because Israel in the Old Testament is a nation that proved to be a vine that was like a wild vine. And the fruit in which it produced was what? It was sour grapes. It's like rhubarb. You can plant rhubarb, but there's two different kinds. The red kind is what you want. If it's just the white kind, the green kind, it's going to be sour and bitter. The red is going to be sweet, and you'll use that for your jelly and jams and pies and everything else you can put rhubarb in. The people of Israel were the vine of God, but they turned away from God in their sin to idolatry and many other things along the way, and they ended up becoming a wild vine that produced sour grapes. What's really interesting is that in the New Testament period, you have parables that Jesus used for the Pharisees and the people of the day, the Sadducees, and he told them that the parables that he was, the owner of the vineyard is going to send his son after he'd sent them his servants. And what did the people do with his son? They killed him. They drove him out of the vineyard and they killed him because they thought that now he's the one that's going to inherit everything. Let's get rid of him, and then we will get what the son was supposed to get. And we know that that person that they drove out of the vineyard and that who they killed, the son of the king or the son of the farmer who had the vineyard, was the owner of it, that person is who? It's Jesus. It's just very obvious that they killed Jesus, and of course they did. Herod the Great, when he built the temple for the Jews, he had on the outside, or somewhere on the temple, it was a golden vine. And so it's symbolical of the people of Israel to be the vine. But keep in mind that you could be a true vine, or you can be a fake vine. It all depends upon where your heart is at. You can come to church and look nice, smell pretty. Does it mean you're a Christian? No. You can have all the outward trappings and lookings and be a nice person, a kind person, even hand somebody a cup of coffee. But that's not what makes you a Christian. If you do it because Jesus wants you to do that, that's a good thing. We're all sinners saved by grace and through faith. So the vine grows. What are you going to find on a vine? It's going to grow what?
Branches.
Branches. Very good. When I lived in North Dakota, in Wahpeton, North Dakota, I bought my first grape vine. I thought, cool, I'm going to see if I can get some grapes off this thing. Bought it from the nursery, took it home, planted it, had a little arbor over the doorway into our house. And it was fun watching the clusters of grapes start to show up. It flowered first, the bees came around, cross-pollinated it, and then it developed the grapes, and it was clusters, and then you had to wait till the grapes started turning a nice purple, and then the wasps and the bees came, and I'm not allergic to them, but they would eat those grapes if you didn't take them off at a certain time. Or the robins would get in there and raise cane. So we had wonderful grapes. Filled up a 5-gallon pail up just one vine. Another time I bought an apricot tree from a friend. He said, oh man, it's great. It flowers beautiful in the spring. It's probably flowering right now on the farm. And every year we'd go look for fruit. There wasn't any. And so we're like, well, we've got to wait for a while, I guess, before it shows apricots. Well, after I got back from the military, my brother told me, he says, just want you to know, that tree is not an apricot tree. I go, how do you know? Because of the fruit. I said, what is it? It's a pear tree. It's a pear tree. And it's a pear that you can't eat. But it's all kinds of pears that come on there, and all this time I'm thinking it's an apricot tree. But you don't know what it is until it bears its fruit. Jesus is making the point here with his disciples that this is God's will for them, is that they must remember that they are branches on the vine. He's the vine, they're the branches. And so everything comes from the root. Up through that vine, gives the nutrients and everything to the branch, but on the end of the branch is going to come the fruit. Now, with vineyards, you've got to prune them. That's another subject for another time. But they've got to be pruned a certain way in order for them to produce more grapes the following year. And you've got to know which branches to cut. And what angle to cut them off in order to get it more interesting thing. So what does a branch do when it's on the vine? Just what you're doing here right now. Nothing. You're just sitting here. But some of you are thinking about what's going to happen this afternoon, where you need to go this week, and all that kind of stuff. But the branch is something that does nothing. It just is there. And it receives everything from the root of the vine. And that's just fine. That's what it's supposed to do. How can you tell what the vine is? Just like the story with the apricot tree. You don't know what kind it's going to be until you see the fruit. The fruit will tell you what kind of a vine that it is. And so that's the main purpose of even planting the vine. It is to grow and it's to be fruitful. If you cut the branch off, it's not going to grow. That branch is going to dry up, it'll wither, you'll be able to make s'mores out of those branches. Burn them. That's all they're good for. In some Bibles, you might have the word abide. Jesus said, those that remain in me or those that abide in me, remaining and abiding is just being there. There's nothing you can do in order to bring the fruit. God brings the fruit through you. Isn't that freeing? No need to be guilty over anything. But if God wants to use you, it's for you to be obedient and to be open and say, Lord, here I am. Use me however you want to. So how do you know if you are a branch on the true vine? How do you know? I think it's important that we know what that is. First of all, you have to determine, ask yourself, am I here today and I'm a wild vine? In Israel, there's an olive tree. It's a wild olive tree that's called oleander. My mom used to call me Timothy Leander. I wonder if she knew she got that from that wild olive tree in Israel. I don't think she did. But whenever she said, Timothy Leander, I knew I was in trouble. And if we are a Leander olive tree or a wild vine today, we know we're not doing what God wants us. We're not at a place where God wants us to be. So ask yourself, am I a wild vine? Or am I like a volunteer corn in a bean field? Or I think that's what happens, doesn't it? Can't you get volunteer corn? Yeah, out there. You don't want volunteer corn. It's not in the place where you want it to be. You can ask yourself then this, is Jesus Christ my personal Savior? Is Jesus my Savior today? I really asked him into my life to be that for me. I'm the branch, he's the vine. He's the bread, he's the good shepherd. You know, that's who he claims to be and that's who he is. Am I following him in that way? You have to ask yourself, what kind of fruit is there in my life? We find that the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we find that in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. And there it talks about the fruit. The fruit that comes to us from the Holy Spirit. The first one is what? Yeah, love. Interesting that that's the one it starts out with, is love. Jesus says, people will know that you're my disciples by the fruit, by the way that you love other people. That's how you're going to know if you're really his disciple or not. But we find there's love, joy, peace, patience. Patience. Everybody patient here? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And self-control. You're all self-controlled people. At least right now. But those are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's what he does in us when we have faith in the vine, who's Jesus Christ. We find in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Again, that's what the Holy Spirit is able to do in each of our lives. You can do more than what you think because God's going to do it. Despite of who you are and who I am, God will do it. So the conclusion, today's message is this. My relationship with Jesus will determine, like the song we sang, who I am. Tell me once again who I am. And I have Jesus Christ. I know that I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower, I'm a disciple. God's purpose for me is to be grafted on the vine. Romans chapter 11, verses 17 through 19 talks about being grafted onto the vine. It's kind of for us Gentiles. And how you get on the vine, it comes from a faith and a belief in who Jesus is. How you get cut off the vine, or not to be on the vine, is because of unbelief. No faith. But by faith, we're grafted into the vine of the Jews. That's good news for us Gentiles. Grafting, in case you don't know, it's like... There was one apple tree that I bought many years ago that three different kinds of apples on one tree. Because they grafted in different kinds of varieties. In one, it's all apple trees, but three different varieties that come on at different times of the season. They got grafted in. I don't understand how they do that, but they can do that. Lilac, the Korean lilac tree, if you look close up by the neck, you're going to see a big bump. It's grafted. That tree doesn't exist without being grafted. I don't know what the bottom part of it is, but the flowers that come out are beautiful lilac-smelling flowers. We're to remain on the vine when we're grafted into it, and then we're to bear fruit. And so what do these three things, being grafted, to remain on the vine as a branch, to bear good fruit that is on that vine, what do these three things reveal? They reveal that I am a disciple of Jesus. When these things are going on in my life, this is the desire of my life. And only God can make these things happen. I am a disciple, a follower, a Christian of Jesus Christ. The last blank, you're following this thing, it just says pruning. Pruning has a purpose. And it's always to make us more fruitful. But pruning is painful. It can be a painful thing. Christians do not escape being pruned. The Father is a gardener. Jesus says that he gets pruned by what he does. If you think of Judas Iscariot, had to be cut off from the other disciples for betraying Christ. But that's another subject for another day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for Jesus being the true vine. It means, Lord, there can be some false vines out there. But with Jesus, everything is authentic, everything is true, everything is good, everything is real. When he is our vine. So may we allow your word to get into our hearts, into our lives, where we know that we are following the true vine, and not something that will lead us somewhere else. Lord, I'm thankful that you can take somebody who has sown a lot of wild oats in his life, and you can change that wild oats into tame oats, oats that is good. And useful. And so Lord, there could be someone here today who still is seeding wild oats, someone who's a wild vine, and he or she knows it. And he can't fool you, Lord. You know it too. Today is a great day to be able to say, Lord, I confess my sin. I confess being involved in sowing the wrong kinds of things. I want to come back to you, or I want to come to you for the first time and make this real. Lord, I don't know if you can help me or not, but I'm coming to you today anyway, asking you to forgive me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for coming to live in my life and in my heart. And you're going to go with me. Once I leave the church, the service today, I know that you'll go with me because I'm going to think a lot differently than the way I have been thinking lately. I'm going to have interest in things I never had in before because your Holy Spirit is working and cleaning me up in the inside and preparing me to be a producer of good fruit as you are in my life and through. I give you all the credit and all the glory. Thank you for being the true vine. I am the branch. Help me to remain in you, to bear good fruit. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Let us recite the Apostles' Creed together. I invite you to stand. So, thank you for your patience and sitting and listening today. Let's say the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again and judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Who's going to help me serve today? Okay, Barbara. Just want to make sure. I wasn't sure. I just want you to know that when we come to receive the Lord's body and blood, it is his invitation to each one of us. Now, the pastor has nothing to do with it. Let that get into it. Jesus can do all that we need for you. So when you come, it's just a way of being able to say, I am a disciple of his, I love him, I am a Christian, I'm a believer in him, and I come because I need not only to be reminded, but there's something that he says in communion that strengthens our faith. I don't understand, it's a mystery. It was a mystery to Martin Luther, too. But the invitation is there. And today is a good day as any, if Jesus is not your Savior, that you can make that happen today. Only you can do that with him. I can't do that for you. You've got to do that yourself. So with that, you will be dismissed by roll. You can come up and receive the body and the blood of Christ. If you want to go up to the railing and spend some time in prayer, kneeling up there, feel free to do that. Stay there as long as you want. That's entirely up to you, but you don't have to go up to the railing and kneel either. You can receive and go back and sit down. And if there's someone that needs to have communion brought to you, be more than glad to do that. I know Bernd is here today. I don't know if there's anyone else, but there's someone else here. Just wave your hand, and we will come and serve you as well. So, Barb, you'll come. And Esher, Kim, let's receive.
Oh.
list, I forgot something, didn't I? Sorry. The words of institution would be the raising of the bread and breaking it, where Jesus said, the night in which he was betrayed, he broke bread and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, taking it all. Then he raised the cup and gave thanks and said to his disciples, this is my blood given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And I didn't say that. But I did say it when he came to receive. But here's the good news that comes to us from what we have just done together. Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, to which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith and everlasting life. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.